Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maluleke, how are you? Hi, Pastor.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Fantastic. How are you doing? How have you been?
I'm doing well. I can complain. God is good.
Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Great to have you here on the Adventist World Radio once again on Maranatha Drive. We are going to be talking about reconciling science and faith. And the question this week is, are they compatible? And so we want to find out the relationship between faith and science and if they are compatible. There's a belief that faith requires believers to suspend their logic in order to continue to believe in the Bible, whereas science comes with cold, hard facts. Now, we want to tackle that particular phenomenon and discuss that particularly today. Now, what is the relationship, if at all, Pastor, between faith and science?
The relationship between faith and science has become what we make it out to be. I believe the relationship between faith and science is positive, and they can support each other. They can be compatible with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Bible makes statements which probably at the time of writing there was no evidence
mm-hmm.
To prove them, but later science verifies that which the Bible has said, that which we probably took by faith. And I can example of Proverbs chapter 17, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And science will later prove that when we have a merry heart, when we are joyful, when we are happy, juice endorphins, which tend also to improve our health, our mental health, and our physical health. They are so linked. It's also proving that when we have depression, when we are anxious, you know, it also affects our health. Just one example that I'm giving in terms of faith and science,
yeah,
and what the Bible has said is correct. There should be a positive relationship between faith and science, because faith should also be based on knowledge. There are some things that we may not know, that may not be revealed, but most things God has revealed to us. We are not supposed to suspend logic, and where knowledge is required, we need to have knowledge and apply it. So I'm simply saying there is a positive relationship between faith and science, although in the scientific world itself, there may be differences sometimes in terms of interpretation, just like even in the religious world or theological world. Sometimes there are differences of interpretation, and then you will find people wanting to mix things. For example, you have what we call these days theistic evolutionists who are trying to reconcile the creation account of the Bible.
Yeah.
And what science says. So I'm simply saying, in the science world, differences of interpretation, also in theology, because you will have also, physicists and astronomers who are scientists, who are also Christians, and they go to the Bible to find verses that actually align with what they learn in astronomy. You know, is it Isaiah 40, which says, you know, God sits, on top of the circle of the earth. You know, there've been theories about a flat earth and things like that. But those kinds of theories also, it's not what the Bible says. Theories in the probably Middle Ages where the church believed that the earth, or rather the sun, was revolving around the earth or something like that. So those are not things that the Bible says. Those are theories that people came up with and they concluded wrongly, and it will be seen as if there is a contradiction between the Bible and science when it was simply people's wrongful interpretations and conclusions that make it seem like there's a contradiction and a negative relationship between science and faith. When Galileo Galilei comes and then he says, no, the earth revolves around the sun, not the other way around, it will look as if the church has been wrong. Yes, the church may be wrong, but the Bible has never said what the church concluded. I hope you understand that one.
Yeah. I do. Now, excuse me, Pastor. Now, how do we reconcile scientific discoveries which may contradict or maybe cast doubt on biblical doctrines? For instance, they would tell you that some skeletons have been discovered in a certain place, and when they look at them, they're 2 million years plus in existence, or something like evolution, which has been discovered by scientists on how humanity, or maybe the creation account, as it were. How do we reconcile those discoveries that may contradict or cast doubt on biblical doctrine?
Yeah, first of all, I think, the Bible doesn't try to prove God. And it simply says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're talking there in the beginning, time, past, present, and future. God created that space. We're talking length times breadth times height. God has created that. We're talking matter, liquid, solid gas. God has created all those things, and that's what science tells us. And so we have challenges, of course, in terms of geology and the periods that are given there. Because when we look at the Bible, we would end up with a young Earth theory, which is about just over 6,000 years or so. Mm-hmm. But I would say, where we still lack knowledge or the ability to actually verify the periods, knowledge keeps increasing. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, if you were to have even these periods that we are being given, we are seldom given specific time frames. One scientist there can say 2 million years. The other one will say 10 million. One will say 100 million years. There's hardly, those gaps are too big if you look at them. So there is in terms of the periods themselves.
Yeah.
The Geoscience Research Council of the Adventist Church is still trying to come up with what they call the flood model to account for the time periods. But I'm simply saying are not able to shorten the period scientifically in terms of saying this rock is 6,000 years old. Does not necessarily mean those who are making prediction or those who are making conclusions that the earth could be a million years or 10 million years or billions of years. Why are the periods so big and the gaps so big, and no one is asking them to account for that? That's a gap, and we need to, science says, let's research and find information and then come up with answers where possible. But there is also a theory of intelligent design to counter the theory of evolution. And the theory of intelligent design will simply says, where there is a design, there must be a designer. We have form and function that seems to be very organized, that time, a day is 24 hours. And every day is 24 hours, and there's no change. So time is created by God. It's stable. Space, we can predict the manner in which matter is going to respond under certain conditions. No one is questioning that. There have been studies about the anthropic principle that if the earth itself were not designed as it is, there would be no life on earth. If the earth was a little bit closer to the sun or a little bit farther away from the sun, we wouldn't have life as we have it on earth. So we're simply saying there's an intelligent designer who has created heaven and earth. Because when we look at a smartphone, when we look at a laptop, when we look at a watch, we cannot a calculator. We marvel and we conclude that there must have been someone who planned and designed and came up with this thing. When we look at the intricacy of the human design, the intelligence, the language, the fact that we're able to speak and use language, these things are too mind-boggling. And the book of Psalms say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And science is still making, you know, a lot of discoveries in terms of our, the human genome, and we're making human discoveries. And so science is compatible with what the Bible says, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, because the earth as it is does not support the fact that it was accidentally created. And I want to come in here also, because the Bible does talk about, science talks about an expanding universe. Science will say there was a Big Bang, and then the universe has kept expanding since then. And then we'll also talk about the theory of the redshift. Planets are moving further away from each other. The Bible does talk about that. But I'm simply saying, even if we were to talk about science and the theory of the Big Bang that suddenly came up and everything in the universe existed and it was orderly, that also takes faith. And no one talks about that because it cannot be proved. We're talking about, we're saying science can come up with logic and they can prove. No, when we talk about science, we talk about something that you are able to, prove, repeat it. And also it must be predictable that when I do A, B is going to follow. Mm-hmm. But we cannot reproduce the Big Bang. Basically, it's not provable scientifically. So science itself, the evolution theory itself does not meet the demands of the scientific requirements to say this is provable. Because the Big Bang, it happened once, if it ever happened, but it is not provable. But there will be an accusation that creationists say, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We cannot prove that. Who can prove the Big Bang?
Man, yeah, it's not an easy subject, and one that has been raging for centuries and centuries on end. Now, non-believers will often cast doubt on Christian beliefs because, where science comes with evidence, and they say tangible evidence, our beliefs are often rooted in faith and may not be able to be provable at times. Are Christians expected to suspend logic when science seems to have evidence of things that go against the Bible account?
Yeah, exactly. I've just responded to that. So, what is there that we call hard evidence where Christians suspend their logic or their reasoning and simply believe by faith? When we talk about creation, yes, it is by faith. And the book of Hebrews will say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is above the creation that he has created.
Yes, yes.
He is eternal. He is not in time. Time has a beginning and an end, but God is everlasting. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So we cannot put him in a test tube to prove him scientifically, just like we cannot prove the Big Bang. So what are the hard facts that we are talking about that contradict the Word of God, and we are left with the Word of God against this hard evidence that we're talking about? So I said one error that has been committed by the church, I will just use it because it was attributed to the church at the time in the Middle Ages, when they, there was this thing that the earth revolves around the sun, and that was what was accepted at the time. That is not what the Bible says. And so when believers have made a wrong conclusion, we cannot attribute that to God or to the word of God.
I
so
see.
That's one historical mistake that I know that has been made, but it's not been made by the Bible. And sometimes people fail to understand the language that we use. And sometimes we wrongfully say the Bible is not up to date with science. I'm going to give you an example. We in all languages, in English, in Setswana, in Tsonga, we say the sun rises in the morning. In the evening, we say the sun sets. That is how we use language. But if we were to put that in the Bible, we were going to say, you see, the Bible implies that the sun is revolving around the earth, because it says the sun rises and the sun sets. That means the sun is the one that is moving. But that is how we use language even today. That does not disprove the scientific fact today that we have come to acknowledge, that it is the earth that rotates 24 hours a day and revolves once a year around the sun. So sometimes the language of the Bible is the language that people use. And of course, when they write, they will write according to the language that they use at that time. And it may not necessarily mean that was the science that was believed in the Bible at that time.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor Maluleka, I must thank you so much for coming through, giving us the insights into this subject. Not very easy to navigate. However, you made it sure that we understand it and we can comprehend. Your last passing shots before I let you go?
I'll say it's a, let me agree with you that it's a challenging subject, but let us also accept as human beings, as Christians, even scientists, that we are not omniscient. And so when we discuss certain subjects, we need to be humble and say that we do not know it all. However, given what God has revealed to us, as Christians, we also need to be humble and say, yes, it is by faith that we believe God, that God created all things, and that everything as it is today, it makes it, 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 you know, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, there is evidence that demands a verdict. We have evidence. We need to reach a verdict. How can a laptop be there accidentally? How can a smartphone be there accidentally? A smartphone is evidence. The universe is evidence. It demands a verdict. Will the verdict be it was an accident, or will the verdict be there is an intelligent designer behind this organized, beautiful creation?
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. It is 8 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock. Blessings to you. We're going to be connecting with you again, same time and same place tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
See you tomorrow.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.